Hey, Overflow. I shared this with you guys already, but I'll say it again. That when you guys always say, let's go.
Yeah.
That I think our new phrase should be, let's flow.
Oh, that's clever.
That is very clever.
Whatever, Ryan.
No, I love it. Let's flow.
Let's flow. Wee woo, wee woo. Guys, I'm really excited about today because we're off of forgiveness, and some people are going to be like,
Wait, what did you just say? You're excited today?
I'm excited.
Because we're off of forgiveness?
Yeah.
Like, dang.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll never really move away from forgiveness, but I'm sure some people are like, all right, yeah. I heard it. I need some time to process it.
Don't forget, forgiveness is central and distinct
and very, very hard. Sometimes you're like, I'm done.
You know, the feedback from all the forgiveness conversations that we've had has been it's insane. Yeah. I just got a text. Like when I tell you just, let me look at how many minutes.
Let me guess. Six.
No.
Seven.
I can't really.
12.
I can't really do math, but I think it was 12.
I knew it.
No, it was 15. I'm sorry. Okay. 15 minutes ago, I got a text about forgiveness and so about specifically the podcast. So I know, listen, it is a long process. Just allow the Lord to work in your spirit, what he's speaking to you about, like today too, like one day at a time. So anyways, those were great conversations. Thank you for all the content that you brought, Alex. Yes. I think it's just working a lot of freedom in people's lives, mine included.
I will say, if you've skipped the last, three?
It's really three. Yeah.
You need to go back.
Don't what are you hide. Doing? First of all, what are you doing here? You have other ones to listen to.
Yeah.
Go back.
You, Caleb.
Yeah.
No, but it is a real thing. And we've actually heard people like confess this. Like I've avoided those episodes because they even had the word forgiveness. And that it is just that should be like a little check in our spirit. We got some things that we need to allow the Lord to work in us. And it is hard, but at the same time, the way I feel the Holy Spirit will do things in your mind, in your own strength, it is hard. But when you're doing something with the Holy Spirit, you're doing something that actually just feels kind of natural and it doesn't feel as hard.
Yeah, it's hard to start.
Yes. And then, it's hard to want to take that first step. Yeah.
Yes.
So jump the hurdle, listen to the podcast, pray, be with the Holy Spirit. And anyway, I said we're done talking about forgiveness and we spent the first like 2 minutes talking about this. But I'm excited because today we are talking about a new topic.
Yes.
This is Ryan brought this topic today. So I'm very excited to hear what you're going to share. And then we'll share some of our thoughts too. But today we're going to talk about shame. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'll say for now because I do want to go into story time.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of really cool things happen.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday was one of the most beautiful days I've experienced, I think, with the church. Mm-hmm. Like it really, which is funny because I can think of lots of days. January 1st is one of them. I think the last time we did worship in the realm was really special, but there was something so like marked about this past Sunday that I felt was really special. And then again, the feedback, like just random texts that were like, what was this day? Like, what is the Lord doing? And then the stories that I've heard, people coming up to you guys and sharing things that were on their hearts and that the Lord was working in them specifically at that time, that morning on Sunday. It's just like, thank you, Lord. You're really doing, you're really doing it. We really get to see it. We get evidence of your spirit moving, which is so beautiful. So I want to go into story time. And I also know that there was Monday Men this week. And I heard that was just another level, just really, really special.
Because you just reminded me of something. And we talk about this, Alex, you mentioned this a lot to staff, but what's happening here at our church right now, I want to say it is normal, but it's also not normal, I think, in American churches. And so I think we can't miss whatever God is doing here. I mean, there's literal miracles occurring.
Literally.
And sometimes we think that a miracle has to be some miraculous healing, like we read in scripture. And it could be, but also, man, spiritually speaking, the Lord is moving in incredible ways through every area of people's lives, whether it's kids, marriages, physical healing, spiritual healing. And I don't know, I just don't want to take this time and we miss it because we think this is, you know, this is,
add to that, last night after Monday Men, I'm standing outside the blue building and I'm almost in this like just stillness looking at the building. And I'm like, Lord, how can we not miss this? Is the question. Because if you are missing it, I'm not saying that the solution is that you have to do something in a certain way. But to me, how encouraged and pumped I was to be with men mm-hmm. and to hear a specific man share his life's testimony, his life's story. Mm. And this is the stuff where you don't miss it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff that puts perspective into eternal perspective. Mm-hmm. Is to be with people and surround yourself with a community of people who perhaps are just as broken as you are, but want to love Jesus just as hard as you do mm-hmm. and yeah. as you want to, you know, and people who perhaps are in different seasons of life or ahead of you, you know, as far as like just older and wiser. These are the people that you have to like lock arms with, mm-hmm. you know? And my biggest encouragement for people is like, when I say don't miss it, I would say be present. Mm-hmm. Don't keep planning ahead. Don't keep being in a mm-hmm. cave, mm-hmm. you know, at home and not being with society. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's a perspective that like society's gone haywire. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of goodness and beauty. Mm-hmm.
That's funny you just said, bro. I just typed that down so I didn't forget. Because yesterday, I can't remember who said it. I think it was during when we talked about stories about NRS. Mm-hmm. And someone said that an eighth grader or sixth grader came to you. Mm-hmm. I was just like, your voice is so beautiful. And mm-hmm. And that probably meant great for you. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in my mind, I'm like, the world is trying so hard to, I'm sorry, the enemy is trying so hard yeah. to confuse us that the world is, I mean, just crazy. Yeah. It's all terrible. It's all evil. It's all mm-hmm. darkness.
Yep.
No, there's light here too. And yeah. we see it in the younger generation. Mm-hmm. But I think that's so good. Like, we got to recognize, man, don't let the darkness overtake the light because mm-hmm. it's there.
Yeah.
It's just the darkness sometimes has a louder voice, yeah. if you will. But it's our job to be the light and yeah. say, no, we're going to stand for what is right. Mm-hmm. You also said brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sunday afternoon. There was someone who texted me and just said, I'm grateful for God calling us to this church because it teaches us how to, or allows us to embrace our brokenness. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one reason why everyone or most people in our church here is tender and mm-hmm. they're searching for the Lord, because we don't have to come in here and fake, mm-hmm. fake anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all are broken from the top down, from our elders down to our pastors down to church. Everyone is broken. And that's why we're here together in this community as unified believers mm-hmm. in Christ to embrace it, but also to move towards restoration yeah. in Christ. Wow.
I think
our church, bro.
Yeah, no. What I think I see in love is that there is a greater love and appreciation for spiritual blessings.
Yes.
So when you're talking about, like, yes, we want yeah. to see physical healings, and God can do it. He can bless your bank account. He can do all these mm-hmm. things. But also, what is the verse? It's like, in Christ, we have been blessed with mm-hmm. every spiritual blessing.
Yes.
And I just feel like that matters to people more than maybe it has before, where maybe it's like, well, I've tried every other type of blessing, or I've tried mm-hmm. to live in every other kind of way. Mm-hmm. I want the spiritual blessings. And that means I want the peace. I want the joy.
Wow.
I yeah. want the patience. I want the love. Like, I want all of those spiritual blessings in Christ. And I think that matters more. And I mean, listen, I do want the other things. I had a great conversation between services with a friend, and just like, it can be so hard because one of the things you talked about, like, we can look at, God, why are you blessing them? Why are you blessing them? Mm-hmm. And like, they don't even love you. They don't even follow you. And mm-hmm. they get to go take 3-week trips in Europe and like, yeah. like, Lord, like, yep. we can really get that way. But
we get, it's not fair.
Yes.
That's what we get.
In the same breath. And I said, I think this is why, first of all, this is why community is important, because you need to hear other people's stories.
Yes.
You need to hear God's faithfulness in somebody else's life yes. to encourage your faith. Like,
wow.
yeah, you can sit in your house and like be with Jesus, but you need the body, and you need to hear other parts of God's character being played out in someone else's mm-hmm. life, the other parts of his faithfulness and his goodness and his kindness towards us, his mercy. You need to hear those things. It strengthens testimony, strengthen yep. your faith. It's how we overcome, by the way, the word yep. of our testimony.
Wow.
So anyway, all that to say, we were both kind of like, just, I want to say, like, honestly, probably commiserating together. Like, that is so hard to not look at friends or family that don't follow Jesus, but it seems like, gosh, they get everything. Like, they get to do all the things they wanted, like, whatever. But I had like a text on Sunday morning that was such a spiritual blessing that it was like, but we get this.
Yeah.
And it was evidence of the Holy Spirit working in the life of somebody I love a lot and want to come to know Jesus.
Yep.
And so then I'm able to share it with her, and we're like, but look what God is doing. Mm. I can't take a 3-week trip to Europe right now, but look what God is doing in the life of this person that I love. Like we have to strengthen each other in that way. And so anyway, that was kind of the feeling I got Sunday. Like we're hungry for the spiritual, the supernatural things that the world cannot provide for us.
You know, and the people, because I was met with another guy yesterday and he was just pointing out how our church is so diverse that there's so many different types of backgrounds, there's so many different ages. Mm-hmm. And for some, what is happening, and especially the worship that we had Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you weren't at church, we did it in the round and we just wanted to be family, celebrate the return of our King. And people did let their guards and emotions down. Mm-hmm. But I have to believe, even if you come in from a different background where that is so uncomfortable, it's new, that your heart at least had to be softened and at least tender in some way, shape, or form on Sunday. Just being there and just being in the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I have to believe that.
So at NRS, the guy that served for safety that night at Blue, he just kind of shared with me. He was like, Alex, straight chills the entire time. Mm. He says, how special this morning was. He's like, I just had chills, you know, and that's just the Holy Spirit at work, you know, like being very present. And again, it's that whole Matthew 18:20, where it's just like, where two or three are gathered in my name. But for service, we had over 500 people and there's this anticipation, like, what's happening? This is different. Oh, I don't have the comfort of seeing lyrics right in front of my face, but who cares?
Yeah.
You know, we're just in, let me just close my eyes and let me just, for the next several minutes, completely full attention to Christ, you know? So there's a lot of goodness. Last night, one of our elders, Steve Churm, he said this thing that, like, if you ever meet Steve Churm, I love his accent, but—
Do it. No, I'm just kidding.
In Germany.
But he just said,
I'll find some things to say.
He was in such awe of last night. And he was like, boy, I tell you what, like the Holy Spirit's speaking. And if you ain't hearing, it's because you ain't listening. Like,
he's so like, matter of fact, I love that.
And he's like, man, the Holy Spirit speaks. And he's like, problem is, people ain't listening.
Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they're blinded and deafened. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take it.
We'll take it.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll add that to the board.
To their own opinions or thoughts on how worship or the Holy Spirit should move.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a long time. We box him in. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of times based off of our previous religious upbringing.
Do you want to hear my confession?
I do, but I want you to hold on to what you're saying, because you got to finish what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm good. I wanted to share what Steve was sharing, because I was like, He really is speaking. Mm-hmm. And again, there's something I really want to know here. It's, if you're in a season where you feel like you don't feel like as encouraged or as pumped up in your faith, I would ask two things. Like, one, are you like soaking yourself in community? Mm-hmm. Because after last night, I'm telling you, like, I just feel like I can break a wall down, you know, through Christ Jesus. Yes. Like, you know, because
I can do anything.
There is something so supernatural that happens within our being when we're with community, you know? And then the second thing is, like Steve Churm was saying, like, why you ain't hearing the Holy Spirit? It ain't because he ain't speaking. It's because you ain't listening. And then that really starts to put this thing, and I know we're going to talk about shame because again, here's the enemy is going to say, hey, you ain't listening, you know, like how you can't hear the voice of God, you know? And it's this whole thing where it's just like, there's certain things that we need to tear down, certain walls we need to tear down, you know, because the Holy Spirit is alive and active. That's something we say here like so often. He's alive and active, you know. We have his word, but he's real, you know.
And sometimes you hear things, any pastor, but here we're trying to be bold and just preach the truth of the Bible. Yeah. And it's hard to hear some of these things. For me, it's hard to say them because I don't say anything that I don't feel the Lord, that the Lord's not convicting me of. So it goes through my mind too. It's like, man, I need to work on these things. And it's tough for me to hear from the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
But I think we shut it off because it's like, it hits a nerve. And it's almost that, like, I know the person knows that they should work on this. They know that they're wrong in this, but they put it off because they don't want to approach it. They don't want to do it, or it hits their pride, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people at a lot of different places.
Yes.
I think that's the thing. So they just shut it off. And
that's me sometimes.
They hear them, but they're not following them either.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? What's your confession?
My confession.
Confession with Sally.
Here's confession time. I feel like the Lord broke down some like religious things in me this weekend too. I feel like he gave me a really beautiful picture of what it really means that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Mm. And so this is my full confession. I love Resurrection Cup and I'm so glad they were here. When I first found out they were booked, I had this thing in me that was like, oh, dang, because I knew that we had planned Worship in the Round. And I wanted it to be a day that's like full Jesus. And I'm like, and I knew the heart behind it. I knew all of the why and everything like that. But there was still just something in me that was like, but people are going to miss it. Like they're going to have their coffee in their hands or they're going to be late because they're going to be on the patio, like trying to get their coffee. Like it was all these thoughts. And I'm not kidding. When the Lord on Saturday night was like, I was in the kitchen just cooking and it was so clear. Paul was on his way to kill Christians and I spoke to him. He was doing nothing for me. He was doing nothing spiritual. He was doing the exact opposite and I spoke to him. Wow. I can speak to somebody with a coffee in their hand. I can speak to someone who comes in late. I can speak to someone who has no intention of actually hearing from me. You know what I'm saying? And so it really, I was like, oh, I'm so religious. Like, Lord, thank you.
Yes, I understand your confession. I'm glad the Lord worked at you. But I also think that you were protecting the intimacy that we knew the Lord was going to bring.
So now listen, that's the whole, like, but isn't that what the Pharisees did at times too? They thought, I think that my intentions were good. I wanted people to fix their eyes on Jesus.
Man.
And I think Pharisees do that. I think their intentions are good, but they'll create their own laws around what God can do and cannot
do.
And so I was just like, Lord, so I actually came in too, and I'll be honest, when it's like a heavy worship day, I kind of shared this with our worship team. Like I place such an expectation on myself too. Like, oh gosh.
Yeah,
and
then
Randy
that,
responded so well to this. It was everything that I needed to hear. But I typically, there's just such a high expectation, honestly, that I'm like, Holy Spirit, am I pure enough for this? Am I pure enough to catch where you're going? Like, if I emptied myself enough to like follow where you're going, you know? And so, and it can almost make me feel anxious and almost shameful. Like maybe I'm not.
What I was about to say, we're getting into that.
What if I'm not good enough to hear where the Holy Spirit is going? And Randy, and so I'd already kind of worked through this by that point, because I really did feel so free. And I felt like the Lord gave me this beautiful picture during run through. It sounds weird to say, but it was just like a really beautiful picture. And at first it was like a drone, like drone footage of me just kind of laying in an ocean. Right. And, but it, then it just started zooming out and the ocean was so big. And it was like, that was the picture of where I wanted my soul to be. I'm just in the Lord. He will take me where he wants to take me. So it was that I had already kind of like worked through this, but then Randy just puts this cherry on top backstage. And he's like, who would willingly jump into a tornado, a whirlwind? You don't, you just have to let go. And he said, honestly, you just need to go out there and go ahead and die. And it was just like, yes, because that's it. You just, you stop thinking about yourself. Don't even think about, you're not thinking, how do I jump into the wind of the Holy Spirit? Like, how do I, no, you just fall. You just honestly die to yourself.
That was our link so then, thing.
Dude, that's, so then, that's good because we think we have to do something to hear from the Holy Spirit.
You just go ahead and die.
Here's what you do. You stop thinking. You get rid of, I said that second service on, I think it was like, there's a battle. Maybe it was first. Battle between flesh and spirit. Willingly put off the flesh.
Yes.
That's it.
So that ended up being our chant, like, or our cheer before we went out. Like we did a hands in on three. We're like, one, two, three, go ahead and die. This could probably be a good chat we could have with ourselves in the morning before we go to work or whatever it is, like before we're a parent or.
It'll be one of our core values.
Like, go ahead and die.
Can you imagine a first time guest and it's on our, go ahead and die. What kind of church is it?
But it's the call of
but
Christ.
Spiritually speaking,
come follow me and die to yourself. Take up your cross. Like this is the call of Christ. And so I think this too, and you mentioned this on Sunday, and I want to touch on it because you even mentioned this kind of briefly. Like even people, you know, if people are worried about cameras or whatever it is, the intention is good. They don't want people to be distracted.
Right.
But also we can close our, like the Lord can work through anything. I even talked, Brandon had this.
What if the enemy is distracting you by you thinking someone else is going to be distracted?
That's a tactic. That is a tactic.
100%. So why don't we all just submit to the Lord, whether there's no roof, whether it's raining, whatever it is, just close your eyes and worship.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Anyway, the Lord is,
I'm going to fire me up again on this.
No, don't. Like the Lord freed me up so much. Like he can speak to anyone, anywhere, at any time. We've created, there's an environment here where we talk about Jesus and they can hear the truth of the gospel. And you know what? Sometimes God's not going to speak to a person that day. Like there won't be a huge life change. There won't be like a Paul moment, but one day there might be, you know? Yep. And so it's just, we submit to the Lord and his authority and his sovereignty. So
I have a question.
That was kind of my confession.
I got a question. Okay. So I know this podcast does go to other people rather than just in our church, but just for a second, I just want to ask because we grew up in a, I grew up in a Baptist church where I would say there wasn't a lot of freedom for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when I say something like, what I just said, I was like, man, we can't miss what the Holy Spirit's doing here. Why do y'all, in y'all's opinion, think the Lord right now is moving so evidently in our church?
I actually had a thought while you were talking earlier, so I could share that. All right. And it is my wondering that I wonder if, I think because the emphasis has been less on how will people feel when they come in here? And more on how high can we lift the name of Jesus? And I think he's honored and pleased in those intentions. And we may not always do it perfectly. Like we are humans with human brains and he does speak to us. He speaks to our spirit, but we're imperfect people. And, you know, so we may not always do it perfectly, but I do think that the intentions of our leadership, our staff is to lift high the name of Jesus where even at churches before, you know, anything like that, the concern and things that I've heard from other churches. I'm trying to do this in a way that's so graceful and not bashing. Cause again, I don't think anybody goes into a church being like, how can we run this into the ground? Or like, how can we not glorify Jesus? I don't think most people's intentions are that.
Right.
But I think in our desire to see numbers grow, in a desire to see fame, in a desire to lift high our own name, things can get out of whack. Mm. And so it's why we need people to be like, but is Christ the center? But is Christ the center? Like whatever change you're even making, is Christ the center of this change? Wow. And I think something like this past Sunday is evidence of hearts that want to see Jesus glorified in that we're not scared to shake things up just because people might walk in and feel uncomfortable.
Or not know their seat.
And it's just not... seeker friendly was the whole phrase, I feel like, for like early to mid 2000s, you know, like 2010s.
Yeah.
And I think the intention could be pure. It's how do we get people outside of the church to feel comfortable inside the church? But I think it went a little haywire.
We want to be seeker friendly without watering down the truth.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it became how little can I give the hard parts of the gospel so that this person doesn't feel they're not made to feel ashamed. Mm-hmm. But then like we're going to talk about this today in shame. There is actually a good use for shame. Yeah. And so it's kind of interesting and in like biblically based, quote unquote, shame.
We'll get,
like,
I'll say this. The reason I come, and if Alex, you got something, the reason I ask this is we don't sit here and strategize behind closed doors. How can we let the Holy Spirit move here? How can we grow this church? Like we've said this before, we've never had a conversation of how do we get to a church of 2,000?
Never.
Honestly, we don't care. No. We don't care. We care about numbers from a perspective of how many people are hearing the gospel, but
well,
who
we also
cares?
We will like I guess in transparency we will marvel because we don't strategize how to get people
and
in.
We see God's goodness.
All of a sudden, we'll be like, we had how many people in church? Like, what? Where did they come from?
Like, how is God allowing us to do this?
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
I would
it's
say
so
like we
crazy.
And I say this because we and for churches that other pastors that might be listening to this, we don't strategize.
Yeah.
We say, what can we do to facilitate, it's even a hard word, but facilitate worship and draw people into an intimate relationship with Jesus.
Into a place where he can speak to them.
And I don't even say we draw, but y'all see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We can promote and let the Holy Spirit draw them.
Yeah, my thoughts go immediately to like, we cannot survive off old manna.
Yeah,
and,
I love that.
And because it was like super evident in my parents' life when, you know, they weren't even very long in a Pentecostal denomination when, I mean, it was probably, I want to say maybe a decade. And in a decade's time, they felt burnout with just legalism and just the repetition of just religion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for a lot of folks, the timeline, the age gap is like getting smaller and smaller to where like we're not going to be 60, 70, 80 years old and still do the same old, because that's what I used to do and that's how I grew up. At some point, something within our flesh and our spirit starts to like quench, and it's like, there's more. There really is more.
Yeah.
Because you continue to do earthly things. You continue to think this is going to satisfy. And for some reason, now you're 70 years old and you're still grumpy. You're still, you know, bitter, you know? Why are you not living a life full of freedom in Christ? And so I think what the Holy Spirit is doing here in 2023 and for many folks is saying, I have more for you. And it's, and it truly is all about me. It's not about keeping it milk-based as far as like how light you want to teach the Bible. Everything within Scripture is very bold, is very radical in many ways. It's not cookie cutter, sugar coated. You know, we were joking about Randy saying, you go ahead and die. And I bet you for many of y'all listening, we kind of giggle at it. There's a bit of a discomfort. Yet this
is sounds wrong.
Yeah. But yet Jesus's message, literally imagine, I mean, they, he got murdered, fam. Like they killed him for how disruptive his message was, you know? And so I just really believe there's a, there's just a time that we're living in, a time that's continuing to come where people want the real authentic presence of Jesus that truly transforms, that truly brings peace and calmness. You know, I even reflect to last night's message at Monday Men with Kaboom, where they hear a pretty devastating news about a, it's a medical, what do you call it?
Situation
with his wife. And they both looked at each other and they felt from the Holy Spirit, give it to me. And he said for the first time in his life, it's like calmness when you should be panicking. When you, you know, like you think the worst, they felt calmness.
Peace that surpasses all understanding.
And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so regardless if you're in your 60s, 70s or 80s, or you're 8 years old, there's something happening here. And at least for our church, and we speak for our church because we don't talk about numbers. We truly want to reflect the Father's heart. And what is that? Is to glorify his Son. It's for everybody on earth to see Jesus as the radiance, as the everything, the creator of the universe. The Father delights in his Son, you know? And so anytime that our church speaks about Jesus's majesty, his kingship, his kingdom, there's something different that happens in the room. And these are the wonders that, like, if you feel that pull and you feel that draw in your spirit, it's because the Lord's like, hey, follow my kingship. Study more about who I am, you know? And just to kind of promote a little bit, Park Gillespie on Monday nights, he's going to be teaching on who do you say that I am? And so if this is one of your biggest questions. If this is one of your biggest questions, who do you say that I am? This is this is really the $1 million question in Christianity. It's not about what does the world say about me? It's you as an individual. Grab your finger and point it at yourself. Who do I say that Jesus is? And depending on that perspective, it will shift everything within your life. Everything. So I think, you know, again, just going with your question, what is going on? What is it about our church? And it's not that our church is holier or greater than thou. No, I think the Holy Spirit is at work with multiple churches around the world, where for many people, we have looked at certain ministries, but the Lord is literally calling the Davids out. The people that we oversee, you know, like we overlook, you know, we want to see the King Sauls because they have their look, they have the build. But we don't want to look for the Davids. You know, and we're not sensitive enough because we're not listening, you know? So this is, there's a greater call and there's a pull, and we need to pay attention to the tension, you know?
I don't want to say, I feel like I don't want to say anything else because that was so good, but I have to say this because I think I looked down at your shirt and I started laughing. I think another thing is that because we teach and preach repentance not just one-time salvation repentance, but like, the habit that you've been in for 20 years that hasn't been able to be broken, why would you only need to repent twice? You need a renewing of your mind. This is daily that you have to lay it. That's how you renew your mind. Please go.
I heard this pastor that we really love talk about Peter's repentance.
I want to talk about Peter for shame.
Peter never stopped living a life of repentance, even until death. How did he die?
upside down.
Yeah.
Think about this. He never, it was never like I repent and then continued life and then repented. No, he lived a life where he never left repentance because true repentance is you never return.
Mm-hmm.
Like you are 180 away from the old things. Mm-hmm. You are now a new creation, a son and a daughter of Jesus. Mm. So even until death, Peter said, no, I've repented and I'm not even worth being crucified the way my Savior was crucified. Wow. Crucify me upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
This is intense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has me going like, this life of repentance is so like, we got to get that word out of our minds as some sort of like weird thing or like shameful thing.
Or negative, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the beauty that if we live in forgiveness, repentance is straight glory.
Yeah.
It's God's grace,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're able to repent because of him, you know, like, I don't know. And so, yeah, my shirt does say repentance equals freedom,
praise the Lord.
You know, but I don't
we're going to talk a little bit about that and the same stuff too. What does a horse represent?
Well, I mean,
a wild horse is so free and
powerful, yet steady and calm. Like,
oh my gosh. That's a beautiful description.
That's pretty powerful.
Are you crying?
I wonder. No.
Yeah.
I wonder if my wife is pretty amazed by me right now. Give me that. Babe, did you hear how poetic it was?
Listen to me describe a horse.
Yeah.
For real.
I feel like I could keep going. I feel like I could keep going. Can I say one more thing?
About horses?
Not about horses. I got no horse facts.
I'm
going to
talk about horses Sunday.
I got no horse facts.
We went from mice to horses.
Listen, we got a lot of feedback about that too,
reminds
Ryan.
Me. I got another story.
Don't. I'm no. We're moving on. Oh gosh, that scarred me for life.
Yeah.
Beth Crawford put in the comments a massacre, and I thought about that all week. It was a massacre. Anyway.
Sometimes we're too open here.
One of the other things that I think about, because I did mention like the hearts, I think of leadership and all of our staff members and all that kind of stuff, but also it's just people who aren't in ministry as a vocation, like just living lives where they go to their jobs and they really are seeking after the Lord. And I think about that too. I think that, I think the Lord is so pleased with that. Cause sometimes I think this is like a ministry note. Like if you are listening and you are in ministry in some capacity, if you're on our staff, you're here. This is why we do need to go hear other people's stories of people who don't do this for a living and hear how faithful God has been to them and how faithful they are being to God when it's not their job, when they don't get paid for it. Like, I like the need to say that because it's very special and it will encourage our hearts. But when I think about friendships that I am in, friendships that I hear about where they're really spurring each other on towards Christ, where it's not the friendship where it's like, if somebody's living in sin, they're like, it's okay. Like you do you. You're like, it's actually no, tell me the hard thing.
Wow, yeah.
Call me to better. Call me up out of this. I just think the Lord is pleased with that. And His Spirit moves when there is a yielding and a turning away, a repentance. Yep. And when even your friendships are godly and don't let you sit in sin or in thoughts that are sinful or, you know, or actions, whatever. And so I just think that too.
I think you know, and that it's funny going back to what happened Sunday. I think, I mean, our church is in a, I would say a very healthy spiritual place, but we can't miss it, but we also can't just stay in it. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to use what God is teaching us about himself and go into the world. One of the most convicting parts for me and preparing for Sunday was the part where we talked about going and serving other people because
I
I'll be honest, that was the Lord did that. I was on a walk. I usually go on walks and just listen to Bible, listen to other pastors. And I don't know why, because no other pastor even brought that point up in that, but something someone said hit me that we label people. Mm-hmm. And when we start to label people, we view them or we give them their worth and depending on what their label is. And I'll be honest, I am so guilty of that. Mm-hmm. And I shut people out based off of their economic situation, based off of their opinions and morals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's like, who do I think I am?
Mm-hmm.
The person who claims
Christ and salvation and think that they're less than me because of what they do or believe in. Mm-hmm. And I was, that hit me hard just mm-hmm. to say, you know what? And I'll just be real. Those struggling with same-sex
attraction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, and to be honest, I don't have to understand that. I'm not called to understand why they feel that way. I'm mm-hmm. called to love them.
Have compassion.
And compassion yes. to build a relationship with them mm-hmm. so that they trust what I say when I share the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I shouldn't use any words. Now, this is me. Other people, God uses people in different ways. I should not share any words until they see the way I live. Mm-hmm. And the way I live should speak and should back up the words that I would eventually mm-hmm. say. But anyway, that thing hit me hard. In the South, real quick, in the South, one of the biggest ones is our political opinions.
Yeah.
Man, if they're a Democrat, they're gone. Mm-hmm. If they voted for Joe Biden, I don't want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with their mm-hmm. eternity? You know? And anyway, that really got me. I think our church needs to start focusing that way.
So convinced that, you know, our political party on top of our Christian views are so in alignment that we view the other side as they're too far gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but again, like it's the repetitive topic here, which is like, what's your view of Jesus? Mm-hmm. Like, what's wow. your version of Jesus? As far as I know, there's only one version, mm-hmm. but into the world, there's like mm-hmm. millions of different versions mm-hmm. of Jesus. And for some reason we put Jesus, like you do realize again, like Jesus was born in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. He's not a white man.
I know, mm-hmm. yeah.
On top of that, he was Jewish, not Gentile. On top of that, he preached a pretty radical message. And in this message, he was with the lowly and the prostitutes mm-hmm. and the addicts and the sick. And yet, what does our life reflect a life of, and this can be a weird word, like we talk about, you know, the diversity, like, you know, because it becomes a weird word nowadays, but it shouldn't be like, is your life full of a diversity for God's people and his creation, hmm. you know? And diversity meaning not just solely skin color, but a way of thinking, mm-hmm. a way of living,
yep.
you know? Yeah, can you have compassion and love for the people that Jesus loves? And this is it, this changes everything, because wherever you are and you're stuck in your ways and you have walls built up, you have to go back to the root. Why do you think this way?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Was it nurtured? Is that, mm-hmm. yeah? Was yeah, it yeah. nurtured in you as you were raised? And if that, how biblical is that? You know, how reflective is that truly of Jesus's character and his walk mm-hmm. on earth, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you hit that so hard. And I was like, if people can just see Jesus for who he was mm-hmm. truly, you know, mm-hmm. he's not Korean Jesus. He ain't.
A little baby Jesus.
You know, if anything, mm-hmm. he's African Jesus, fam. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. come on now. Like, what's going on, you know? So this is yeah.
I did want to point that out, because that goes back to what we brought up a lot too, is, I mean, we should be a hospital for those who are healing. We should be yeah. a family for those so that we can prepare to be the army mm-hmm. and go yeah. out and fight, mm-hmm. fight for what we believe in yeah. a respectful way, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that's the next step for our church.
That's mm-hmm. the other irony. Like you just said army. When you serve the United States of America, you're not fighting for just one skin color mm. or one way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You're fighting for freedom yeah. for our country.
For what you believe in.
And guess what? Our country's full of, it's a melting pot. Mm-hmm. So at some point, why is it that we're so secluded in one way of thinking? It's like, even for those who are in the military, but like you say you're Christian, you served in the military, but why are you still kind of like racist in a way mm-hmm. or just small-minded in certain ways? You know, like, I'm not encouraging you to think democratically mm-hmm. Or Republican or whatever. Like, yeah, we have our what would you say?
Convictions.
Yes. We have our convictions, and like, yeah, we may sway a little bit more to another side on the pendulum right. of politics, mm-hmm. but regardless of those things, I can still love and I mm-hmm. can still conversate.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's one of my points.
And the
yeah.
beauty is, and I say this because I actually had conversations with people here at our church, like, how can you let so-and-so, you know, serve? And it's like, because I'm willing to be in the dirt with them. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to see them grow. I'm willing yeah. to see them through process and through the love of Jesus, get them from one way of thinking to a completely renewed, transformed way of thinking mm-hmm. through sanctification mm-hmm. because it's a process mm-hmm. yeah. and process takes time.
So well, like, that process needs a leader, if you will, in yeah. that situation. And how could someone who's in the dirt, if you will, be able to see the hope that they could have yeah. if it wasn't for someone that grabs them, puts their arm around them and say, hey, let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a tweet on X. That's the new thing.
Mm-hmm. I forget, used to be Twitter.
Yeah, I forget exactly what it was, but it was talking about this in Jesus's ministry. And he said something like, he didn't go hang out with the lowly, and he did not care about how people perceived him when he hung out with those that people outcast and pushed away. He also did not tolerate what they did.
He didn't do it to affirm.
Absolutely not. No, he did it to show love, compassion, and truth. And if we could get that, and that's one of the
And they knew who he was. They knew that he was a rabbi. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the other perspective. Like, he didn't, like, not be a rabbi.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, and in that culture, rabbis had the finest clothes, the finest houses, the finest food. And so they
don't let go of your identity.
Man.
Like, this is some stuff.
So anyway, that was one of the things that really got me. Because it's convicting to me. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, who am I, like you said, who am I viewing the world through the lens of? My flesh or through the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need to check ourselves.
Spiritually speaking, that moment was, there was this stillness because it really was starting to poke the bear. You know, everybody's heart and soul is like, hey, this is for you.
Yeah. And what's ironic is that's what I mean. Like, it didn't really go with the main point of what we're talking about. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit wanted our church to hear that.
Well, it's Revelation 19. It's the excitement. It's the ceremony of his return. Mm. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, I'm returning. Mm-hmm. Knock, knock. Wake up. I'm going to shake you up a little bit. You know, and that's the direction. That's where in the moment, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And you, by faith, say, I want to say this. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's beautiful. Were you going to say something, Sally?
Was I?
I don't know. I don't know.
No, the only, probably just like another... Sally's confession time.
Uh-oh. It's confession time with Sally.
I think sometimes the hardest thing for me, or like the thing that part of your message exposed in me was, I find it easier to obviously love the people who are easy to love in my life, and then also go to the far extreme and to extend compassion to the prostitutes, homeless, drug addicts. There's this somewhere in between.
That's good.
That's
Sally.
A little hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just like little personality things or,
even those that should know better.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what I'm saying? In my mind, I don't give compassion to those if you know you should, but it's like, I know I should.
Oh, I'm the compassion police. Like, who do I get? Right, I don't get to decide who that's for. So that's just like a confession. I just wonder if other people listening are like, I kind of feel that way too. It can be your coworker. It can be somebody in your family. And so it's not like the two extremes are easier to love. It's these like people in the middle that we just don't quite click or I don't understand you that I find I need help from the Lord to actually have compassion.
Our society is pretty wild. And this is the last point before we kind of transition into like shame, but, Liz and I were watching one of these murder mystery things. Mm-hmm. And again, society. Unfortunately, there was a serial killer in, I don't know, Go-Go Beach, whatever. The common thread here, these were sex workers.
Yeah.
And the wonder was, why haven't y'all searched? And it's because of this stigma. It's like, oh, they're sex workers. Mm.
Like, they're not important.
They're not important. Like, it's not as urgent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like... And I'm watching this and I'm like, hey, why are we watching this?
It breaks
your
heart.
No, it breaks my heart because I'm like, wow. Even in non-Christian circles, just, you know, government politics.
Yeah.
Even then, it's like, there's this lowly thing. And I'm like, when are we going to value humans for just humanity?
Mm-hmm. For being a child of God.
For just, yes. You know, and it was like hurtful. I was like, oh my goodness, you know? Mm-hmm. I just want to say that because even society reflects the nature.
And this is why we are supposed to be different.
Yeah.
The church is the hope, you know?
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Well, do you want me to do this?
I'm passing it to you, Ryan.
Okay.
Talk to us about shame.
Let me first off, you know, I'm usually pretty open about this and I didn't realize that that's one of the healing processes of shame.
Look at you.
So look at that. Oh, Lord.
The first step is admitting.
shame is a... I wish I could say the word I want to. Shame stinks, man.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. What's it rhyme with? No, just kidding. No. I'm sorry.
I'm not even doing that. So shame has always been, and here's the thing. I didn't know how to label it in my life, but it's always been something I struggled with. And I know why after kind of looking at this and studying and reading a bunch of articles. So I'm really what I did here is when I I was like, all right, I got to figure out why my head constantly goes back to past things I've done and why I get stuck in this cycle sometimes where I just can't, you know, that dark hole, and I can't mm-hmm. climb out of it. And it goes from bad to worse to worser mm-hmm. to worsest.
Worsest.
And I'm like, why is that? And I, you know what? And I'm going to get here. And it isolates myself, and it makes me feel like, man, no one else deals with this. Mm-hmm. It's just me, and I'm terrible for this. So anyway, I mean, really all my life I've seen this pattern, and I don't know the root of it yet, but mm-hmm. I can see the evidence of it, and yeah. it's called shame. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us deal with shame in our life, and we might not be able to recognize it. So today, my point was to help us understand what it is and kind of how to start taking steps to, when we start having these thoughts, to really take steps to defeat that through Christ.
Yeah.
But before we get there, let me give these definitions. So we sometimes confuse guilt and shame. So yeah. guilt, let's get this straight. Guilt is when we do something that is wrong and we feel bad about mm-hmm. that. Mostly sin, all right? Mm-hmm. When we're talking about the Lord, but also to someone else. When you do something wrong, you know you did something wrong. You have this feeling of guilt, which should draw you to confession, repentance, and asking for forgiveness. I'm just going to read some of these things I pulled up. But guilt is a feeling that we get when we believe we did something wrong. So guilt usually can be pinpointed to a specific event, mistake, or sin. Mm-hmm. But once we rectify that situation, for the most part, guilt recedes in our life. Mm-hmm. It's kind of gone. We move past it. Mm-hmm. Now, shame is the feeling we carry when we think we are bad. So guilt is something that we feel bad about. Shame is feeling bad about ourselves. Mm-hmm. Shame is rooted in the belief that we, and here it is, here's my life, we lack worth or value. Mm-hmm. Shame says, I am bad. Guilt says, I did something bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how I've heard it described, is that guilt is over something you've done. Mm-hmm. Shame is who you are. It's yes. an identity.
Yeah. And right. And I'm going to get to a biblical point on this mm-hmm. and we can see it, but shame, does not relate to a specific action. Mm-hmm. If you, and I can see this in my life. When I go to it, I don't pinpoint one specific action. It's a lifestyle. It's a lot in the yeah. past, and it's just a reminder of how bad I am, and yeah. it attacks your self-esteem, and it attacks how you see yourself.
Yeah.
There's a quote that shame is a powerful emotion that can cause people to feel, just listen to this if this is you, it makes you feel defective, unacceptable, and damaged beyond repair. That is the tactics of the enemy mm-hmm. trying to attack, like you said, attack your identity and who you're created to be. Mm-hmm. Damaged above, beyond repair. Mm-hmm. Now, shame though, got to think about this too. Shame could be because of something you have done, but it could also be because of something someone else has done. Shame is embarrassment. And I don't know if you've ever felt where, let's say a spouse, I don't know, it's the best thing I have, a spouse did something wrong to a group of people. You carry that burden as the other spouse is that burden of shame. And you probably felt this when it's hard to go back to that group and look them in the eye. Mm-hmm. You just feel embarrassment. It's that you feel like this relationship is damaged so far beyond repair because the enemy doesn't want you to seek forgiveness. He doesn't mm-hmm. want restoration. So mm-hmm. he tells you in your mind, don't even do it. Don't even worry about it. Just isolate yourself from that group. Mm-hmm. You're beyond repair. Mm-hmm. Shame stays with you. You know you have done sinful things and you feel that there is no way to make them right. And what the consequences of sin, I guess you could say, of shame, is that it immobilizes, it confines us to mental and emotional bondage. I remember I was going through a rough season a month ago, and I had to get out of the house and I was just on a walk by myself. I was trying to listen to things and I couldn't. My mind was racing and I literally texted, this is getting super vulnerable, but might as well.
Yeah.
I literally texted my wife. I said, why do you even love me? Mm. And it wasn't mm-hmm. even like I did something to her. Mm-hmm. It was just these thoughts of it's emotional damage. I was, my self-esteem is low. I have no identity. I have no purpose. I have no this, 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 and this. So I confine myself to this mental bondage. And I love this, how it says this. When we experience these things, we treat these thoughts as facts. You can't talk yourself out of it mm-hmm. because it is true. Mm-hmm. And it is these emotions that trick you into believing this is who you truly are. So shame keeps us trapped in the past or in things that we cannot change. Any thoughts before I keep rolling?
I just relatable. I feel like when I think of things like that, I feel like particularly for me in this season of life, the phrase that or the examples that are coming to my mind are guilt being I raised my voice at my kids. The shame voice to me is I'm a bad mom.
Ooh.
You know?
Talking about living that one. I told that to Jelly too.
Yeah, like and so that thought I'm a bad mom
that's
will
a good
carry
example.
You carry you super far away from the truth, you know, or I mean, whatever it is. Oh, I was, I feel like I've been cold to Brandon. I'm a bad wife, you know, I haven't been warm. Mm-hmm. He probably hates me, you know? And then that spirals into, do you hate me? Why do you hate me? It's like, what are you talking about?
And here's the thing. And you can't get that thought out of your head because you believe it's a fact.
Yeah. And you, I feel like I've said something to the effect of that. Like I know in my mind this is not true, but it feels very true. How intricate are the inner workings of our mind and our soul and our spirit? This will be my soapbox forever. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to sort out all of that because it will just feel true. And I can tell my mind that it's not true, but until it sinks in somewhere deeper, it feels very true.
So here's the ironic thing is as believers, like you just said, we know the truth.
Yes.
And we know where we need to go to climb out of this. We understand that we should not allow these things to control us, but yet it is still so overpowering. And these lies that we tell ourselves is I'm a bad person. I'm not good enough. I'm worthless. I'm a fool. I deserve the shame. And I want to get to the story because I think it's funny that we say that to ourselves, but what does our God say to us? So do you know the very first time, now the word isn't there, but the very first time shame was introduced in the Bible?
I mean, I would assume Adam and Eve.
Correct. So Adam and Eve, as we know, they did the thing. And then what did they, now this is a Bible quiz, but you don't have to get right at it. What did they immediately do after they realized they sinned?
They hid.
Mm-hmm. What does shame do?
You hide.
Isolate yourself to get away because I know I did something wrong. And so sin leads to shame, but what does sin really do? It attacks your identity, attacks who you are. They had perfect communion with Christ, with God. They knew their identity because they saw their identity in God. Immediately when they sinned, they saw good and evil, and their eyes saw that evilness, you know what I'm saying, the evilness of who they are. So sin immediately through shame attacked their identity and they went and they hid. And how the Bible says it is they became naked. They were aware of their nakedness. They were ashamed and it became apparent. And so they went and got and hid. So this is what this article is saying. As shame grows, I kind of mentioned this, we become isolated and withdrawn from others to hide from the shame that we experience. It drags us away from our community into darkness, fearing that people now will see us as inadequate, unworthy, and beyond repair. So as a result, we hide our true authentic selves, identity.
And this is where I read a statistic a while ago that I'm not going to remember the number or anything, but just that an alarming amount, like mostly when you look at people struggling with addiction, whatever kind, alcohol, drugs, sexual addiction, whatever their food, whatever they're using to cover their emotions, that the root is shame. So the thing is, it reminds me a lot of bitterness, like that. A lot of things that that you might be experiencing physically, then the fruit of is actually because it's rooted in shame. And it's that feeling of either you did something wrong that has now become your identity. I did this wrong thing, so I must be worthless. I must be whatever it is, but it's rooted. And so when you're talking about hiding, I don't want people who think that they're social to think that they're not hiding from shame. Like, yeah, you can still go to your job. You can still go hang out with your friends, but are you covering shame with something? Are you covering it with alcohol? And so it doesn't, because some people might hear that, like, well, I don't withdraw. I still have friends. I still go talk to people. But is there something you're using to cover or to feel or to not feel?
You always question, like, what you're basically saying is sometimes it could look good or okay on the outside, but you always wonder, is there something hidden? Are you know, is there a hidden sin? Something seems off, but your life seems too perfect too, you know? And Yeah. It's always a curiosity of mine.
It goes back to you're not embracing the brokenness.
You're not embracing the brokenness. Mm-hmm. And to go back to like add some, honestly, some revelation, some clarity on embracing brokenness. I truly believe like to be marked by the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to be able to utilize you, you have to be transparent with Him. Mm. He knows everything about you. You know, but you, when you recognize a thing that is not honorable to the Lord and you are confessing with your lips, even if it is a shameful confession, I hate this about myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's actually a recognition, an awareness now that you're connecting to something that's not holy. Mm. And you say, I don't want it. So
that's
you're actually rejecting it.
That's good, Alex.
Now you may continue to partake in this thought and this feeling or this sin, because it's something that you may struggle with for a period of time. And sometimes people wonder, will I struggle with this for the rest of my life? Mm. The beauty about the Holy Spirit is that, and this is the thing that our phrase, in spite of, in spite of your brokenness, your dirtiness, like your sin, your ugliness, the Holy Spirit says, son, daughter, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want somebody aware, not just somebody who wants to fake it till they make it. Mm-hmm. I don't want somebody to be up on a platform of any sort, profess my name, tell multitudes of people, but deep down, they're not being authentic. They're not being transparent with me, you know? And so the anointing that's
good
over your life, Ryan, and particular people that I really look up to and admire is because they're in tune, man. They're in tune. They don't love the fact that they struggle with these things, but they understand that like this is a daily thing, you know? And the Lord like does wonders through these people, you know? When we had our friend Charlie, it's the same thing. Like he confessed on stage. Yeah. He's like, if y'all were to know my thoughts this very morning, y'all wouldn't want me leading y'all in worship. But I ask you all the question, what did y'all feel during that worship set? When
freedom.
Charlie opened his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, freedom.
You know, Park Gillespie last night, he was driving in the mountains, listening on broadcast on YouTube, that service with Charlie speaking. And he was like, straight chills. The anointing, man, it surpasses anything. It can go through digital platforms, you know?
Wow. And
so I'm just saying like, this is the stuff where it's the beauty of recognizing, you know,
I want to don't lose that thought, because, you know, I'll only try to get there if I don't forget. I just being real, I've never experienced this amount of shame until I stepped into this role.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because shame is a spiritual attack by the enemy, but we're about to talk about too, how shame is not put on by the Lord. It's a consequence of sin, but it could also draw you out of a sin and cause you to repent. I don't know why all of a sudden, literally from the moment I stepped into this role, I started to be attacked with it's my identity. You know, the enemy is trying to tell me that whatever you say on stage, like you should not be able to say that because look at your life. Like how can you tell them that and look at your life? And that's why I feel like the Lord has called me to be open to an extent with our church and say, listen, I'm broken. Like, hey, let me get ahead of the devil. Let me defeat the devil and take away his ammo.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible person, you know? We all are. So let's get past that. But in my mind, behind closed doors, I cannot defeat these thoughts that keep rolling in my head.
You know what's really sucky about shame too, though? Like, Ryan, when you look at your life, and you know how some people say, you know, look at the good and look at the bad and see how that good outweighs the bad. Mm-hmm. Like you may have these subtleties of like sin or negative moments. But again, it's not to just like pump you up, but like you're a good husband. Mm-hmm. You're a good dad. And one little moment, you're going to let that outweigh all the goodness that you do overall.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. This is the crazy thing about shame. Is you let this one moment completely overrule the fact that your kids will love Christ for the man that you are. Your wife, Shelly, will continue to love Christ for the husband that you are. Mm. And to me, like, it just sucks because like shame, it tells you that no, you're terrible. Mm-hmm. And then there's moments where like, I don't want to be with my wife. I don't want to be with my kids because this one moment ruins, you know? But all the things, like if not everybody has access to your life, not everybody has access to your personal relationship with your wife and you. But if people were to know even the little moments that it's just you and your wife, those are the moments that will live forever.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, can you be loving? Absolutely. Can you be just present with your wife in a moment? Absolutely. Can you make a romantic moment that's just truly romance, not just sexual, just a moment where you're here I am. Mm-hmm. We're in this moment forever. Mm. Yeah. And we'll remember it till the day we die. Mm. These are the moments where it's just like, let that outweigh just perhaps a moment in flesh where we reacted.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, because there are stresses in life. There, you know, and it's not to justify things, but the reality is when things come our way, man, there's moments we do react. Guess what? We draw near to repentance. Mm. Yeah. We draw near to first one to forgive wins.
That's good, man.
Hey, Liz, I'm sorry.
Mm. You know? We talk about forgiveness, but again, shame tells you that you should not ask for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It almost is, and we talk about this to forgiveness, I'm not going in, but it's almost like it's not fair for me to ask forgiveness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, these are all these thoughts, bro, that just keep going on
and on. And when you say it out loud to us, like, we're like, you can hear, what?
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It makes sense, of course. Like,
but that's the isolating in your mind. And these are these thoughts that you perceive as fact, even though they're completely false. They're lies.
Wow.
But, and I mentioned this on Sunday too, it just hit me during that, talking about how we worship. I was like, I don't want to worship. And it went through my head all week of just this snowball. And I wanted to get out of the gutter. I wanted to get out of the darkness, but I just could not.
Mm-hmm. And it's a heavy tactic the enemy does, man. Mm-hmm. He does not want you to taste and see.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you said that. So now I know we're talking about me, and I think people listening relate. Because it affects everybody, but it's like, why though is the enemy using this to attack me?
Well, here's what I keep thinking, because God and Satan are not equal. Everything is under his authority and he will turn everything for his good. Mm-hmm. God also wants you refined. So if the enemy is able to keep poking and prodding the same thing over and over and over again, God's like, we got to get this out. Like, that's kind of the thing that I think about. Like, he wants you a healthy man, pastor. The same thing for me. Like, whatever the area is for me, which is a lot of things. I mean, whatever hats you wear, like as a mom, as a wife, if we keep coming back to the same place week after week, or it can be months in between, it can be years in between. But if I keep coming back to this place, God's like, I want that. Wow. You said it. I want that. We can't keep doing this. Dang. You're a new man.
That's good. Yeah.
Because of the blood of Jesus, you're a new person. Mm-hmm. You can't keep going back to old flesh. You can't keep going back to old patterns. You can't keep going back to old whatever. You're a new person. So I love you so much. We're going to get it to where the enemy can't even touch that. Like, that's kind of how I view it. So
I'm allowing it to keep happening.
So why does
the
enemy keep doing it? Well, the bigger question is, why does God keep allowing it to happen?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
And the thing is, like, the enemy's not equal. At the same time, he's very intelligent.
Yeah.
He sees the spiritual movement, you know, the spiritual vibrancy that's occurring. He's seeing the repentance that's occurring. He's seeing the people coming to Christ. He's seeing the restorations happening. And guess what, dog? You're the main, the main dude up here.
Trust me,
where the Lord's
I get that.
Hey, you're the angel of the house. Of course you're going to be attacked heavily. Mm. Again, like, plead the blood. You know, like, it's just one of those things.
And the whole work of sanctification is, yes, he could snap his fingers and take away your shame and everything like that. First of all, again, he uses everything. So if it is a way that pushes you deeper into knowledge of him, deeper into understanding the fullness and character of him better, he will use it.
Yeah.
But it's also the process of sanctification where... the way that shame made you react 3 years ago, I get back to a place of peace and trust quicker. He's training you. You're learning. You know,
training,
of us, he trains us so that we can actually identify this is a tactic of the enemy and I'm going to trust facts over feelings.
I'll take a step further. Sally, you said the Lord could just take it in a snap. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the Lord says you need to keep digging and find that root.
Mm-hmm.
You know, past 3 weeks, we've talked about how we may be blaming the fruit of something and we're not going to the root mm-hmm. to figure out why we carry, because you can translate shame into bitterness too.
Yeah.
Bitterness towards yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is why you have to forgive yourself. And so to me, it's, we sometimes do need to stop or put a pause on, like, I keep staying in this, like the outer courts of something. And the Lord's like, I haven't taken it away because you haven't entered the secret place.
Dang,
like,
bro.
You know, like, and what's the secret place in your heart?
Yeah, yeah.
That you're not exposing. You haven't released it. Mm-hmm.
That goes back to what we were mentioning. It's like you hold on to that.
You're holding on.
You're almost afraid to go there. And it's that weird thing of misery is somewhat comforting. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if I let it go, it's like, well, what's new? Afraid of the new, you know, afraid of what's to come. Mm-hmm. You know, I know people in our church deal with this same topic.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people, most people do. But when it came very apparent was, I don't even know when we did it, but we called kids up first one Sunday morning. Remember this? And we prayed over them, then moms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Lord literally just wanted me to remind moms, hey, you're a good mom.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And when I said that, I just remember looking around and seeing tears come out of moms.
I remember that day.
You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, man, just telling them, listen, you're doing a good job, because in their hearts and minds, they're not. You know, you just mentioned it. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, like that shame, that you're projecting shame upon yourself. You're believing a lie that is not true because of things that we sometimes do wrong. Let's be honest.
There's that word projection where it's, you know, projection is a small image. How do we say it? It's like amplified or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the other thing about the whole mom thing, or just put that in your context, you're looking at what you could become or the fear of what you don't want to become.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the projection. Mm-hmm. It may not even be the initial moment of, I reacted to my child. It's, I don't want to become my mom. It's like, you know, I don't want to become a bad mom or what, you know, like.
And for me, yes, I don't want to be a bad dad, but also I don't want my kids to become something because of the way I'm treating them now.
Oh yeah, negatively. It becomes a cycle.
So here is the crazy cycle of shame, is that you're so fearful of those things too. Shame will actually keep you where you are. There is no growth in shame. And it kind of, because you're now hidden, you're covering it up. This is why my favorite example of shame restored in the Bible, aside from Adam and Eve, it is beautiful. Like, and this is how we know, first of all, can I just say this? This is going to be like a big lofty thought. The fact that the Bible even speaks to shame, this ancient document, it is proof of a Holy Spirit that knows how we were created. It's not a physical thing that you can touch. Mm-hmm. It is this pervasive thought process and idea that attacks our very
emotion,
essence. Yeah. Like the word is not ethereal, but it's like, it's a spiritual concept. Mm-hmm. It's not healing broken bones. It is so deep. So the fact that that scripture speaks so much to healing this
complex
shame thing in us is like, thank you, Lord. Like, you know what happens inside of me because you created me. Okay, wow. That was a side note.
Christ felt shame, but it wasn't because of him.
Yeah.
He felt shame when he's being whipped, when he's naked. Yes. I mean, so he you're talking about he experienced it.
Because he was in flesh. Like, it's the nature of flesh. Yes.
Now, it's not, what he did. It's just, but it's still, shame is not just because of things you do.
Yeah.
It's about people around you as well.
So I love Adam and Eve because it's the covering that he makes for them, that they no longer have to experience that.
Yes.
But one of my favorite examples I talk about, this is like probably my other soapbox, but it's Peter. And Peter is told, before the rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. Mm-hmm. And he does it. And then the rooster crows. And so I read this book by Mark Batterson one time that just paints a really beautiful picture that, our senses are so tied to our memory. So this smells like your scent. That is the strongest sense tied to your memory.
Wow.
But then you think about auditory and things like that, that they all are tied to our memories. And so he was talking about how, think about, especially in a time and culture when you would have been around livestock a lot, the rooster crowing every morning would have been a reminder for Peter, his greatest failure. And so every morning he's reminded of the rooster crowed. Remember when I denied Jesus three times, this would have been it. And so what he points out is that after Jesus dies, after he's resurrected, but before he ascends, when he's going to meet with people and disciples, where is Peter?
He's fishing.
He's fishing.
He went back to his old self.
He went back to his old self. And then that's when he calls him out. And then he goes in, and this is what was so beautiful, that he says, I'm going to have breakfast with you. Mm-hmm. And so that's breakfast. It's the morning. It's when roosters are crowing.
Oh.
And that at that point, he says, Peter, do you love me?
And they ate a rooster.
I'm sorry.
He says, Peter, do you love me? Three times he makes him say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He was reprogramming his mind that no longer when he heard the rooster crow would he feel his greatest shame. These are the links that he went to restore Peter. This was a priority for him before he ascended to go restore Peter's shame so that he could then do what he promised and build the church on him. And
then he lived in, like Alex said, lived in repentance.
Yes, and lived in repentance. And so this is all key for us that he does care about your shame. And so the thing that you keep going back to, it actually could have a root in shame. The area that you feel stuck in, it could have a root. It probably does have a root in shame. This is why the honest prayers, this has to become a thing for us. I think we're so good at like, Lord, I just love you. And would you just heal this? And would you heal that person? And would you bring this person to salvation and blah, blah, blah.
She's about to go off.
My prayer last week was, I am asking you to help me forgive. I'm here, I'm willing, but I don't want to forgive.
Wow.
And I felt like I felt the fruit of that later that day. I think did I share that on the podcast?
Raw honesty.
And so it has to be, I want to feel you. It has to be, I don't want to drink anymore. I don't want to, and I don't know how to stop. And I need you to show me what's going on. Or I don't want to forgive this person. Or I hate that this happened in my life. Or I shared this a couple weeks, where were you?
Oh yeah.
Where it has to be the raw, honest prayers. Mm. This is why it's not a religion. A religion, you go and you, whatever, Catholicism, you go do your confession and then you move along with your life, or you just offer praises, or you just do the reverent thing. But he became man.
This sounds crazy, but like the Lord is inviting you to wrestle with him.
Yes.
Wrestle with me. Like I want everything.
Yes.
You know, like I want to feel your weakness. Yes. I want to feel your strength. I want to feel your curiosities, your wonders. Uh-huh. Like give it everything. Give it all to me.
And the question, we went to this question for forgiveness last week, but it was, how real is God to you?
Wow.
Is he really that real? You know, that can he handle the questions? Can he handle your, you know, those David moments, the anger, where are you? What are you doing? You know, I still think we should, you know, certainly be before him in awe and wonder and reverence. He is the God of everything.
Yes.
But there is a place for our lamenting. There is a place for our questioning and our human emotions. He gave them to us.
Yep.
The most proper way I think we could use our human emotions is to take it to him and not me go to Shelley and be like, God, why is he doing this?
Yeah.
But to go to God and say, I don't understand. Can you either show me or give me peace or uproot something? Like we have to give him our utmost honesty. We'll give it to everybody else.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I don't like what God is doing in my life or why I don't understand something. But then we're like, but God, you're so good. Like, not that I don't think that you don't think he's good. Not that I don't think that he's good even when I'm questioning. But he's still, we have to be honest before him.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I've got.
No, that's good.
That was powerful.
I was going to say Genesis 3:21.
Okay.
No, well, just talking about, I mean, so now it's kind of like, so then what do we do? Like if we can identify this, if we say, okay, I didn't realize that's what it was. And I do, I am very hard on myself, whoever. I will say I'm very hard on myself. I think we're all our own worst critic.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. Yeah. I mean, I think you do want to be refined and you want to be good at what you are doing, but you can't let those thoughts go in a wayward direction. Mm-hmm. So if these kind of things that we're saying fit maybe your life right now, or maybe the things in your thoughts and your emotions. So what do you do? Well, first you sit, you sit in the presence of God, because one thing we got to understand, this is not something you can climb out of on your own. I mean, you've tried that before. I've tried that before.
it only leads to more darkness and it leads to your thoughts running even wilder.
Can we talk about sitting in the presence of God?
Go for it.
I feel like this is the thing that, especially if you're in a shame pit, it feels like the most impractical thing to do. We want the solution. How do I fix this? What could I say to myself? What could I read or listen to? Maybe not Bible related, like what podcasts? Or like, I think we want the solution, but like, what does it practically mean to sit in the presence of God? Go.
That's a hard question because
I'm doing this a lot today.
Well, you know, you gotta be active for the cameras.
Let's go.
I love Caleb's definition when he said, I pressed in and I was like, what do you mean you pressed in? He said, I became aware. Mm-hmm. So I think you become aware of the issue that you're praying that God would help you give healing from.
Mm-hmm. So where are you, I'm talking like bare bones practicality. Where are you doing this? What is happening? Is it, you go to your bedroom? Are you in your car?
The location is irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's the posture of the heart and you have to listen. And
is it irrelevant? I'm going deep. I don't know. Is it? Or do you think?
No. I know that we're in your car.
Well, I know that we
closet.
Can talk to the Lord anywhere, but I am talking. I think that there is, when we talk about the secret place, yes, I can go into like, this is what Brother Lawrence talks about in that practicing Brother the presence Lawrence. Of God. Yes, it is for him, it was like every moment acknowledging in your like inner self, this is the deepest part of myself. That's where the Holy Spirit is. And I'm with him. He is with me. But I do think that there, I think some people, I don't want to say missing out. I don't like that word. I think we could go deeper somehow to make sure that we do have a place that we meet with God.
Maybe, yes. But here's the thing. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody's minds works different. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I go sit in a room by myself.
You go crazy.
I do. So the Lord, I've learned this.
That's interesting,
Where the Lord has spoken to me the most is on these walks I keep talking about.
Yep. I love it. That's what I'm saying, the practicality for people. That's so good. Do you feel the same?
Or in a car? I mean.
What's yours?
Mine's, honestly, there are moments of like solitude. Mm-hmm. And it really is like some of my favorite moments. It's just, I can't sit still. Mm-hmm. Like I can in a sense, like, cause I do feel like self-control, like, I can sit still, but like I got to walk and talk, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people wonder like, why are you here so early on Sunday mornings? Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not because I'm like, don't have certain tasks done. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't like to be in a hurry. Mm-hmm. And I think my main priority is I just want to spend a few minutes with the Lord before everybody shows up.
I love that.
You know? And again, this is not to boast or like expose my secret time, but there are moments like when the weather's pretty tight where I'm just walking out in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's just, again, it's like these walks or these still moments that I would just refer to because it's just you and the Lord. And a lot of times it's not even me just talking a lot. Mm-hmm. It's just being in.
That's like, what I was going to say. We talk too much.
It's just, Lord, I am yours. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's the moment where I think there's a great reward to not have to think that in every second we have to do something or even that we view it as a waste. Because there is a character within us that feels like we're not doing enough or I didn't do anything, that was a waste. Mm-hmm. Can I occupy that time with something? Mm-hmm. And the Lord's like, no, like I want your time. And I want you to value even an hour with me, even if the world says you didn't do quote unquote anything, that's eternity on earth. Mm-hmm. Like that's eternity present.
Mm. That's good, Alex.
So,
that is really good. I thank you guys for sharing all that because I think that's the most practical thing. I think when people hear like be in the presence of the Lord, it can be like, what does that actually look like? And it can look like a few different things, but it is the heart. Mm. It is the heart posture.
Well, unfortunately, you know, religion at times have like forced like, hey, make sure you do this and that. But there's something so sacred about it too, you know, and that's where the enemy like shoots those darts where it's just like, nah, that's religion. Mm-hmm. And like now there is a war at hand. And what's the war? It's the war between people who are stuck in their ways, who are Christ followers, or are in Christianity mm-hmm. of some sort, you know, like even with Catholics and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then you have the other side of the war where the enemy's like, now you say you're a free Christian, but no, that's just religion. Mm-hmm. You don't need to absolutely have this rhythm mm-hmm. where the Lord's like, I do like rhythms. I'm the creator of rhythms.
Mm-hmm. Order. That's so good.
I'm
yeah.
the creator of order, rhythms. And mm-hmm. here's a stretch. Like what you may consider chaos mm-hmm. may not be chaos to the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, I brought this analogy a long time ago. Like, look how he created the earth. Mm-hmm. Look how he created trees. He didn't create them in line. Mm-hmm. Yet, the greater picture, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Trees are planted the way the Lord wanted to plant mm-hmm. them. You know, we're the ones that want them in line. Mm-hmm. And we call that a great look.
Order,
and we call that order. But again, it's like we have to really revisit our perspectives to what's God's view of that, mm-hmm. you know? And God's view of that is like, I do like a rhythm where you say, you point your affection towards me in the morning mm-hmm. or before bed, you point your affection again towards me.
I know you say that, Alex. That's so nice.
There's definitely that awareness, you know?
Yeah.
And to be able to see that, like I would love to see adults who love Jesus and see the younger generation see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even want to just completely make that small in the sense of like a young child.
Yeah.
You know, when I was on the road a lot with Charlie and we were sleeping in the same rooms for many years, you know, I'm in my early 20s. So again, younger generation, mm-hmm. but I would see Charlie turn to his bed on the side, put his feet, but before he stood up, he put his hand on his heart and just say, just a small, simple prayer.
Mm.
There's that affection. Mm-hmm. When you wake up, kaboom. You know,
kaboom.
Like, so yeah. These are the things. These are the practical things that I think long-term wise, it just creates a life full of freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
So
I love that, Alex. Very
and the
good.
Presence of
I'm
God, like
some
you were
verses
saying.
To get ready for the closing.
Okay.
I wanted to go back real quick and then I want to talk about just ways to battle shame mm-hmm. if we're going to wrap this up because, you know, like I said, it's hard for us. We can't climb out of this pit on our mm-hmm. own. The more we try, sometimes the enemy will attack us even more. But you already mentioned it. So even though Adam and Eve, they sinned, they went completely against God, they hid, they ran away. And even despite that, God in Genesis 3:21 says he made tunics out of skin and clothed them. So he covered their nakedness so they would not be ashamed anymore. And that's for them. But what covers our shame and nakedness? It's the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
And so that is just a picture and a representation of what Christ does for us daily. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even daily. Every second of the day. That's what he does for us. James 4:7, and this is kind of just starting to transition out, is like the devil knows, we've already mentioned this, but I'm just giving verses to back it up. He clearly knows what our struggles are. Now he's not within us, but he's aware mm-hmm. and he knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this says is submit yourselves therefore to God.
Mm-hmm.
So if the devil knows, you need to be aware. So you confess this, you get out in front of it. You say, Lord, like you mentioned, I don't know what to do. I'm lost.
Yeah.
I'm broken. I can't get these thoughts out of my head. Submit it to God. And what happens then? Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Mm.
Pray for that protection. Then it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Mm-hmm. We know that verse, but do we actually practically do that?
Well, you said submit. And then you said resist.
Mm.
These are biblical commands, you know?
And it's so funny you brought that up because I was thinking as I was pulling into the church today that they are not equal opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been given everything that we need to resist the devil, but we don't believe that.
But he also,
I know.
Like,
man,
we don't. We
that
don't.
Verse doesn't say like either I'm going to completely take away like the tactic of the enemy.
Exactly.
He says, it says resist, meaning like, it's still gonna come up until like his second return and like the enemy's completely crushed forever. Like the Lord resists.
But that's good. Resist is action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just like repentance. It's not a one-time mm-hmm. thing. Resist is continually resist the devil.
You said this, like you mentioned earlier that there, like some people feel like, I will struggle with this for mm-hmm. the rest of my life. This is also why community is important. And you need to be around people mm-hmm. who have experienced.
Yes.
I used to think that. Mm-hmm. And I brag on my husband, really, mm-hmm. but really the Lord, the Holy Spirit in him, that I remember him having those thoughts. I will literally never live my life without this.
Yep.
And now he can't believe it's been so long.
Oh yeah.
Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. And dude, believing the truth that we have everything that we need to resist.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we don't believe it. Sometimes we don't want it. Sometimes we don't want to resist, right. You know, we want to give in. So it is interesting.
So some of just kind of steps, and again, these are from some articles that I've been reading too, but some ways to battle shame. Number one, we talk about it, but confess. Mm-hmm. First off, just confess your wrongdoings. The enemy has nothing against you when you confess and you repent. If your shame is due to wrongs you committed to you or by other people, forgive them. If it's someone else mm-hmm. who has caused shame upon you, forgive them. Mm-hmm. I mean, move forward. Don't sit in that. And then ask God to lift that burden from you. And then I love this. Ask him to minister to you. Ask mm-hmm. him to give you hope, healing, and restoration. Those are the saying, I don't know how often we ask that either. Lord, mm-hmm. I need the hope.
I was just thinking that as you said that, like I'd love a poll on the podcast. Have you ever asked the Lord, will you minister to my heart right now and give me the hope that we'll ask for hope. Maybe it's just the phrase. Like I've never said that.
That's
phrase
like the
really.
Verbal. You're verbally asking for hope.
Yeah.
Yet we give action to other things to give us these things.
Wow. Yeah.
Sean's fired.
No, I mean
at me. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean seriously. Like so true. I don't know. That's where my brain went. It's like we can sacrificially with our lips ask the Lord for these things.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. We tell digital things or other people to give us the things that are not truly satisfying, but it's just for momentary numbness. Mm-hmm.
You know what hope really is? Hope is a taste of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying, Lord, give me a taste of what my eternity with you will be like.
Mm.
And just a taste will get you through whatever the situation
is. That's so
good.
That's what hope is. Yeah, that is so good.
That was the Lord because he just gave that to me.
Thank you, Lord.
Another way. So shame wants you to hide, just like Adam and Eve. Shame wants you to be isolated. So what do? You bring shame to light. Shame grows in dark places. And when it gets in these dark places, understand this, it grows in power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it takes over your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This wonder working power.
Right. Yeah. So this is when we talk about that battle between flesh and spirit.
Yeah.
As Christ followers, of course we have the Holy Spirit, but to an extent, we still have flesh. And so shame allows the flesh to grow in power. Mm. And this is hard because it sounds almost blasphemous, but it allows momentarily to outweigh, if you will,
mm-hmm. in spirit. In our minds.
Yeah. There you go. Yes. Yeah, in our minds, outweigh spirit. So bring it to light. Don't allow it to grow in power. And all of this, tell someone, talk about it.
You know,
that's confession, but talk about these things. This article said, journal it. If you don't have anybody mm-hmm. that you necessarily trust right now, well, journal it until you get to a place where you can share them and talk these things through.
Wow.
The isolation, I think, is where we go crazy. Like if you don't talk about it and you don't have somebody who is able to help you, and if you're not going to submit yourself to the word, which in those times, we don't really do that, submit ourselves to the word which you're saying that conversation ministered my heart. Yes. So whatever, but we need to have some sort of avenue either to write it out and to hear it back to ourselves and say, that's crazy. Mm. That's not who I am. Or to have someone be able to say, even if you can't receive it right now, even if you can't believe it, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You're phenomenal. Like basically what Alex just did too. Like, no, this is who you actually are. It's mm-hmm. not what you've done. This is who you really are in Christ.
Sally,
I jumped.
Separate what you do from who you are.
There it is.
To defeat shame. Separate who you do, your actions, from who you are, your identity. And how do we do that? We'll go to God's word. The Bible is the ultimate authority on your identity.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that you are deeply loved, you are chosen, and you are set apart.
Mm-hmm.
Man, if we could grasp that word. We are set apart. What? Hold on.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say about that. The Lord just got me. You are set apart. You're set apart for something different. It doesn't matter your position, whether you work at church or not. If you're a Christ follower, you've been a set apart. So don't live like the world and don't fear like the world.
Yeah.
Don't have shame like the world. You're set apart from that. Then choose to believe who you are. Choose to believe who you are, who God says you are. So who are you? When we look at the word of God, we go back to Genesis 3. Just like he slaughtered an animal to cover their shame, God slaughtered himself through Jesus to cover our shame. Mm-hmm. And it says in Romans 8:1,
this is what we have to believe. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free.
Dang.
Colossians 2. I'm going to just rattle off some verses here to let it sit. Colossians 2:13.
Yeah.
This is who we were. You were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, but God made alive together with him, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses. Now listen to this. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, he set it aside, nailing it to the cross. This is what I love.
Oh, I know.
I don't know here, because I didn't study this passage. Is he talking about human authorities or is he talking about powers and principalities? But I choose to believe powers and principalities. Mm-hmm. Listen, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and he put them to shame by triumphing over them.
Did it not say, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ah.
John, 1 John 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If he cleanses us of our unrighteousness, then where could shame be in our life? Mm-hmm. We've been cleansed of that.
Dude.
That's that whole thing. If he separates it. He doesn't forget our sin. He forgives our sin and chooses not to look at us through our sin. Mm-hmm. So if he does that, why are we doing that to ourselves? We are cleansed and we of all unrighteousness.
That's that sneaky pride.
Mm-hmm.
That's, oh, you're God now. You get to decide if you deserve punishment or shame or not. Not the Lord.
That was really the last one.
That was very good, Ryan.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness.
There's one more, but I want to see the context of it. Oh, this is the one that separates from the east as far as the west. Yeah. That and so back to it. I mean, one of the two main reasons is prayer and then getting the word of God. Yeah. You have the world, I would say you have the world, and you also have yourself telling you everything wrong about you. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we can't look at those things. Mm-hmm. We go to straight to the word of God. God himself, don't even say the words. We go to God himself through the word and he defines who you are. And it's those scriptures that God repeats over and over. Every single one of those scriptures basically said the same thing in different words. Mm-hmm. He repeats himself so that we get in our minds and understand who we truly are, who our identity is found in. And it's in Christ and Christ alone.
Mm-hmm. That's super good.
I'm pumped.
Hope this resonates. I hope it resonates with people. Sometimes when you talk about shame, it's like, am I the only one who struggles with this? Like, do other people, are they going to know? Are they going to know what their area, like as people are listening, do people know what their area of shame is? Or maybe this conversation will highlight it for you. But again, yeah, it could be something that you have done, something done to you. It could be expectations placed on you by a parent. You feel like you're not, measuring up to, or that you didn't live out their dream for you or something. Like, there's so many ways that shame can be sneaky and attack who we are in Christ.
Wow.
And so thank you so much for bringing all that, Ryan. I hope this brings a lot of freedom to people. I think shame keeps a lot of, I think it's a cage. It's a trap for us sometimes. And so I really hope that this conversation brings freedom from that.
Yeah, know your identity. That's really what it boils down to.
Yeah.
Know your identity. And if you're a follower of Christ, your identity is in Christ. It's safe and secure. And he doesn't view you the way you view you.
Yeah.
So stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
So good.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Well, any other final thoughts before we wrap up? This was just so nice.
No.
I'm just pumped. The whole, you going through scripture right there just has me going, my Lord, my God, you know, like literally.
Yes.
And the thing that pumped me up the most was when you were talking about, I'm pretty sure it's on principalities and powers, putting them to shame. You go back to Genesis and there's some pretty interesting scriptures in the beginning of Genesis where like people don't like to talk about. But again, those things that the Lord created at first and they rebelled against the Lord.
Yeah.
And now they're called powers and principalities. Mm. The fact that the Lord in his majesty, the king of the universe, put that to shame. He's like, you thought you had won.
Mm.
You know, you thought you could take 2/3 of my angels, you know, and now you can wreak havoc on earth. But no, I'm putting that to shame. I have the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the stuff that I'm like, you know, and we boast and take pride in military and like army, you know, like we're the best military in the world. Yo, Jesus.
I was gonna say, we've never seen a warrior like the one that's coming.
That's what I'm saying.
And matter of fact, we talk about that this Sunday.
And just think about the second coming and like the 30 minutes of silence, like all this stuff that's about to take place. There should be something within you to say, hold up.
Yeah, what's going on here? Yeah.
You know, if you're fascinated by war, I know this sounds kind of like weird. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you're weird, like because There's a lot of blood. but regardless, like there's something wild when you look at history and war and all that stuff. And this is just little Earth in the grand scheme of the cosmos.
Yeah.
Imagine angels, like the host of angel armies. Like, I was just so pumped. You read that, and that can just go over our heads.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But when you can think thousands upon thousands upon thousands, you know, for your soul.
But we devalue our own souls.
Oh, I know. We got to shift our perspective. We do. I hope this encourages
eternal
y'all.
Perspective.
So, your soul. You got to close because we can.
You know, your soul lives forever. It's just one or two places it's going to go.
It's an eternal soul. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, we are, on that note.
I know, yes.
On that note, we are finishing Revelation 19 this week, and it is exactly what you just talked about. It is the literal coming of the Lord, where he is coming to wreak havoc on powers, principalities during the Battle of Armageddon. That's what
we're talking
about.
He shall return in robes of white.
Mm-hmm.
Blazing sun.
And by the way, we coming with him. We coming with him to fight this battle. We're coming with him to be a witness of the battle that he's about to fight.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, I'm done.
Wow. All right.
You may tell a story about a rat.
We gotta go. Everybody
talk
have
a
great day. And we'll see you next week. We'll talk to you next week on the Overflow Podcast.
Bye, y'all.
See y'all.
Thanks for listening to the Overflow Podcast of New River Church, where we seek to provide authentic, practical, biblical encouragement beyond Sunday services. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and if you'd like to learn more about New River, please visit us online at newriver.church or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place. May God cover you with his goodness and grace, and may Jesus always be enough.